6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network. I am Chris at Lightforce, joined virtually by Anna Forsyth at A4S03. Unfit to podcast is Adam Ovenel Carter at Adam FOC. And while his contract is coming up, he is also on the IR, Matt Lee @Matt_Lee_61. It is just the two of us, which, if you listened to the last show, will become the new thing next month.
Yeah. I'm glad you shied away from using the phrase the new normal. We can't take any more of that phrase, but yeah. I guess Matt didn't get the memo from Brandon Sutter on what you do in a contract year.
No kidding. Like, any word if Brandon's been re-upped yet? I'm pretty sure he's going to get the max 8, right?
Yeah.
Home team additional year.
Chris Gehr is working hard on the numbers.
Yeah, getting it underneath the cap. So if you watched IOTA, Ann and I were a little bullish, I think it is. Is bullish or bearish? I've never
one of those animals.
Yeah, it's like when it's a bull market or a bear market. And
what? It's like
a stock market term. I've never quite understood.
Okay. I know what bullish means. Bullish just means, yeah.
Anyhow, okay. The point being, we weren't down on the Canucks, and they took offense to that because we know they watched IOTA.
Yeah, I mean, that's their warm-up. They don't like the anthems either. They go for IOTA. But in all fairness, we did say that we were optimistic about that game in particular, if not the Canucks as
true.
Well.
True, because of how the week that recently was went. I mean, thinking back a week from today, or, you know, we were recording while the Canucks were losing to the Calgary Flames in a game that Matt described as must win, which I was like, whoa, it is not must win territory. And then
but if
the
it
week
was,
went,
we're in deep trouble.
Right. And then the week went on. It's like, well, about that. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks, share some of our thoughts, our prognostications, because the two of us by far are the smartest people on C4. I was going to say Canucks Twitter.
Okay. No, yeah, because I don't think that's true. I thought you were going to say smartest people in the room because we're the only people in all the rooms we're in.
Well, in the rooms we're in, sure. Yeah, I guess in the rooms. We're good
smartest
in the room.
People, we're good in the room.
Smart room. That's right. So, you know what? Let's get on with the show. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network. Do we really need to talk a lot about that Canucks loss to Calgary, that 5-2 loss that we were sort of describing in somewhat real time when we were recording the last episode?
I think we kind of put that in last week and we draw a line under that and start with the, the overtime, the shootout effort where Canucks just held on.
Well, and I mean, we were sort of talking about it in C4 Discord, which if you are not a member of C4 Discord, you need to get in there, discord.io/C4podcast. It was the Chris Golden style of hockey game.
Yeah.
When I tried to describe the type of hockey I like to see, that Canucks. Okay, I'm not big on a shootout.
I love shootouts.
The Canucks 6-5 win, that's what I
was. Well, then it was a mixture on both of our styles because I love shootouts. I don't want to shoot out every game, but I do enjoy them every now and again. But yeah, I think your style is they do have to score one more goal than the opposition, which they did not manage. Yeah. But
well, I mean, we look at that game and what did we learn from it? Well, one, Bo Horvat apparently can skate well on the Vancouver ice as he learned to skate on the Edmonton ice or the Alberta ice, it was as someone described. We also learned that there's this guy named Tyler Toffoli who is apparently good at hockey.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we go on, that may become a theme. But, like, looking just at the score sheet here, the Canucks, you know, kick things off in the first period. Bo Horvat scores himself that power play marker. Canucks go up 1-0. And then in the second period, you had the Tylers getting in on the action, but like one Tyler on each team. And then you had Brock decide to, you know, get in on the action. And then Brendan Gallagher got back. And it was like back and forth. You got a tie game going into the third period. Then in the third period, Bo Horvat's decided, like, ah, you know what? I'm going to score another power play goal straight in front of the net. Like, suddenly the Canucks power play has figured out how to score goals. And that's cool. But see, like, Vancouver's like, nah, we don't want to make this game too easy. Let's go and provide Kotkaniemi. Has Kotkaniemi?
Oh, I actually have the juice on this.
Okay.
Because me and a couple friends were talking about it during the game at the weekend, because I think I've heard it said like 5 different times. Mm-hmm. So I texted my Finnish friend, sorry, and it's Kotkaniemi.
Kotkaniemi.
Yeah. So there's no like Y sound in there. And there's no coat sound in there. And it means...
Kotkaniemi.
Kotka means eagle. Niemi means cape. The geographical teacher, not...
I was going to say, because, you know, Mr. Eagle Cape got sent in all alone.
I mean, it was... That school sheet did read, like, how most hurt the Canucks by, like, Tyler Toffoli, Brendan Gallagher, the child stolen from us. Well, at least from under our noses, and Kotkaniemi, who's not exactly amongst our list of favorites.
True, but I mean, the scary thing is that Tyler Toffoli goes and gets his hat trick in his return to Vancouver. Who, like, how many times did he actually play in Vancouver? Like, three,
yeah.
Four games? Like, because he came in the deadline. Which
it's
was
like
February.
10 games, right? In the regular season.
Right.
But how many of those
were? On the road for a portion of those.
Yeah, because they're in the East. I remember they were playing Toronto. That was for our meetup. That was during the Toffoli years.
But he scores himself a hat trick. The Habs are up. Canucks Twitter is in full meltdown because, like, the House of Cards has folded. And before they could even finish announcing the Toffoli goal to take the lead, Brock Besser comes down the ice, ties it up.
Yeah.
Like, again, this type of hockey game is my type of hockey game. Give me this. I feed off the wide open. Defense is optional. The Habs defended. The Canucks didn't. And it just worked out that both teams could score goals.
But that was definitely a theme. Defense optional was definitely a theme as the week went on.
And then we went to that shootout, which Miller's goal was sneaky, but I don't know. Like, it felt like slow. I don't know how to describe it. Like, no speed. I can't even remember who scored the winning goal for the Canucks in the shootout.
Pass. We're so well prepared here. It just honestly feels like
Horvat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Horvat. Oh, yeah. Suzuki got the Montreal goal. Horvat scored after that, and then
I'm pretty sure I texted my friend saying I forgot Horvat because we were picking our shooters and no one picked Bo. Poor Bo.
So Canucks have won, you know, a game after must win night. And they were scoring goals. They were getting production off the power play. The penalty kill wasn't horrid. They did allow one, but, you know, things seem to be settling down. And then we get to that next game on the Wednesday, and it wasn't bad in the first, right? Like.
No.
I mean, Toffoli gets another one of these goals because, again, apparently this guy's good at hockey. Horvat gets one. Horvat gets another. Horvat has 5 goals and is currently, I mean, I don't know if it is as of we're recording, but at this point in time, he is leading the league in goals scored. He's got another one on the power play, not to worry about the fact that Armia got one shorthanded on that power play. But, hey, you know,
yeah.
It's 2-2. It looks like another wide-open affair. And then someone forgot to let the Canucks know they had to play in the second period.
Yeah, that was a rough one to watch, really.
So just we got
relentless.
We had another shorthanded goal, this one again from Toffoli, followed up by a later period goal by Josh Anderson. Only 9 seconds later, Jake Evans scores.
Again, main team sounds like a fake name.
And because, you know, scoring 9 seconds after that, you know, was it the 4th goal to get the 5th goal? The 6th goal came only a minute and a half after that.
Yeah,
like 90
seconds. Yeah.
And like the wheels had completely fallen off the bus. Now, Brandon Sutter, he tried to, you know, cue the comeback and get that early-ish goal in the third period.
That was just dead cat bounce. Like, the Canucks were already dead by that point.
Well, you know, speaking of dead, bad segue and all. The Myers hit on Armia.
That was a bad segue. Jesus, that was crass.
I know, right? Like, you know, this is when I saw the hit in real time, I'm like, oh, I don't think that was a good hit. Then I saw like the slow-mo replay and I'm like, oh, it was not a good hit. We've talked about this on previous shows, and I think you and I are on the same or similar pages, but I'll present my take for those that might be new. What we knew as good hockey hits and what people continue to say are good hockey hits needs to move forward in advance. Like, I grew up in Rock'em Sock'em hockey when players just got absolutely destroyed. Or if you had your head down, that was perfectly acceptable for Scott Stevens to come in and essentially, you know, end your career. That style of hit needs to get out of the game. I'm not necessarily of the belief Myers went in to go in and absolutely destroy Armia, but he came in looking to absolutely destroy something, and it happened to be Armia had his head down. Now, if the argument is principal point of contact being head or chest, and we're talking about, okay, when you look at the angle here and you're starting to do the trigonometry, that's too close.
Yeah, I completely agree. If watching the justification of the lack of suspension was just crazy to me. It was like a lawyer just completely forensically doing it. Well, you know, the percentage point of this hit is, to me, it was dangerous. It's too big a risk to take on Myers' part that you're going to get the body rather than the head. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, intent doesn't mean anything to me at all. It was a dangerous hit, and it's not one we want to see in hockey.
And the thing about this, like, we consider the referees have the ability to look at a review or replay to determine whether or not it's worth 5. That's what they did. And then they come out and said, yeah, it has been confirmed, 5-minute major, and out he goes. The NHL comes out and says, actually, no. And then, like, during the weekend, I think it was, like, in Brian Burke, I think, it had said it. He's like, the refs got this one wrong, even after review. Hey, sometimes they got it wrong, but it was a clean hit. If you think that was a clean hit, I'm not going to disagree, because it's that type of hit has always been a clean hit. And I'm using air quotes right now. That doesn't make it right any longer. Like, if the game is looking to protect players, and in the modern era, that's the type of play that needs to be.
It's like in football when, like, players go in two-footed, but they get the ball. But, you know, it's so dangerous. Yeah,
I pointed it. All ball. Even though, or, like, my leading foot goes over top of the ball. Like, you go in and you go over top and through the person's legs. And again, I'm talking about your version of football.
Yes. To me, I didn't like it. And I think there was a lot of Canucks fans who didn't like it either. And I'm sure it's not just because Tyler Myers being on the ice is somewhat of a liability. Because Canucks don't really have the amount of defense to make those choices. well, right now.
In this game, so Jalen Chatfield had left the game. Edler was not.
Which we now know is concussion.
Like, so the Vancouver, like at one point, I actually asked the question, like, who's left? Jay, who some of you know in our in C4 Discord, and I were chatting, and I was like, you know, who is it going to be? Like, really, the Vancouver Canucks taxi squad is kind of sparse because of the number of bodies they've already put in the lineup. So when we heard that the NHL had decided, or Department of Player Safety had decided that no, there isn't any further suspension required, I can't remember who it was on Twitter, but someone said, the NHL has determined that Tyler Myler's being in the Canucks lineup is actually a worse punishment than suspending him.
Well, I mean, we need bodies on the ice, and he is definitely a body, but whether he should be there for several different reasons is another thing.
So that brings us to the third game of the three-game series against the Montreal Canadiens, the Saturday matinee, although I guess it wasn't a matinee, it was afternoon, a 4 p.m. start for Hockey Night in Canada.
But can I just clarify, it's not a nighttime start, as the Canucks Instagram wanted to sell it as. You know, tonight on Hockey Night in Canada, it's 4 p.m.
Yeah, it's like hockey afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we're going to get into it in Half Full, Half Empty, but we had another one of those coming up, and this one's even better. It's midweek. But, the Canucks came out and really looked bad. I think that was when the collective sort of feeling of Canucks Twitter was one of angst, was when they showed up but didn't show up.
I mean, Corey Perry, who doesn't even have a Habs uniform on his NHL picture,
scores a goal. To be honest,
he's like in his mid-40s. It's not okay.
Who was it that was it on the goal, or maybe it was before that, where Corey Perry like turnstiled? Was it Yalevi, or it was a defender that Perry completely turnstiled?
Welcome to the NHL.
Like, again, Barry's got experience here, but yeah, it was unbelievable. But yeah, you got Nick Suzuki kicking things off midway through the first. You got Corey Perry, you know, adding a little icing to that cake midway through the second.
And Canucks, again, there was a false dawn with Canucks preparing to fight back, but...
Oh, in the third period, Petey finally scores a goal. Pettersson gets a goal early enough in the first that people are like, wow, cool. And it was a nice tip. Like, you know, good deflection from Petey. Hoglander then follows that up only a couple of minutes later. We've got a tie game. The Canucks are in it. But the problem is that the Vancouver Canucks seem to want to make things difficult upon themselves and proceeded to provide breakaway after breakaway, man advantage after man advantage. Like, it was just odd man rush. It was just unbelievable how many times they tried to gift wrap opportunities to Montreal. And while the Brendan Gallagher goal didn't break their, you know, proverbial spirit, that Jonathan Drouin goal definitely did. And then the Joel Edmondson goal was just,
once again, we're just asking our goaltenders to perform miracles. And turns out Marsham was doing that a lot. And I'm not putting the blame on Thatcher or Braden Holtby at all this week, but like, I think it really does show what pressure this defense puts on a goaltender.
There was a chart based on analysis that showed the Canucks goaltenders, and they're essentially it's four quadrants, and Thatcher Demko was like near the bottom right, which was works hard, like his work rate. Very high, poor results. That was the problem. That's what was keeping them down. This is what the Vancouver Canucks are doing to their young goaltender. Holtby, he was slightly above with his results, but his sort of work hard was a little bit lower. So functionally being, you know, Thatcher Demko is essentially getting thrown to the wolves. And, you know, yeah, to your point, this is what Markstrom had to deal with. And Markstrom was performing miracles. I mean, I think that's one of the factors that a number of Canuck fans didn't quite understand was how his play, which frankly is what made the difference, is what sort of allowed some of these broader issues to maybe go unnoticed or maybe not well represented. Like the Canucks defense has been in a tough spot for a number of years now.
Yeah, I think what's lost in the discussion that Canucks defense with the signings, incomings and outgoings didn't get noticeably worse, maybe even improved slightly in the offseason. That's not a good thing. Like, needs to get considerably better.
Yeah. So Canucks are now in a real bad spot. You've got Elliot Friedman coming out on Twitter suggesting that, Benning and ownership needs not listen to the Canucks fan base, which is up in arms. The Fire Benning movement is actually trending on Twitter, and that's not the first time. It's happened many times.
Let's call a spade. I've never been a fan of Benning. And I would tell you it's still too early to go and make rash judgments with this team. Yes, maybe it'd be good to change things now than later, but I genuinely wonder if Jim's around at the end of the season. Even if the Canucks, squeak into the playoffs, I don't know if that's going to be sufficient. And that might explain why Travis doesn't have a deal. Like if you're ownership, you're probably limiting things to provide maximum flexibility. Like if you're going to make changes at the top, how often does a new GM come in and keep their coach? I know, like we saw,
that's the thing. This doesn't exactly scream clean slate if you've got a coach, no matter like how good his track record is with developing talent. Yeah, it's just not a great situation to come into. But I just wonder what's the breaking point for the ownership. Because as far as you and I have read Jim Benning, has he gotten... The issues are just issues that have been going on a while. They're just coming home to roost, you know?
He said 7 seasons. This is my problem here. Is you look at the number of seasons he's had, and you've seen the Vancouver Canucks make the playoffs twice, one of which was because of the pandemic. You might have made it last year if that had not occurred, but then where they were at the time when the stoppage occurred, it wasn't a sure thing.
Yeah, so, especially with injuries, yeah.
Exactly. Like there's some question marks there. But let's give it them 2 out of 7 years. During these years, we've been told there was a retool. Then at some point it was going to be a rebuild. And I will give them credit for a young core that's been put together. But this young core is then anchored with all these bad deals that he continues to attach to them, because we need someone who's good in the room, and we need to fix our problem with free agency. Like you look at Myers. Myers is a market value player.
Yes,
that probably could have got that money from more than just the Vancouver Canucks, but he wasn't necessarily the solution for this Vancouver Canucks team. I get that. What Jim was trying to do, but was that the way to go about it? And if that was the case, if that was win now, which I'm willing to accept, we're almost back to that. It's just a different scenario of people complaining about Gillis and his NMCs and his NTCs. The concept being I'm going to give players something they want to help keep the numbers down. It is a tool that you use, but it comes back to haunt you. Well, Jim's been doing this for 7 years, and he's being haunted by all sorts of ghosts in his closet right now.
Ghosts.
Time to go in the
closet. That's a new one on me.
The monsters under the bed.
Yeah, I guess we've talked about the off-season moves that we didn't like, but in a way, they're just related to the root problems of overpaying and bad contracts, because while definitely Tyler Toffoli came at a cheap price, seems like, or a good deal. So did Troy Stetcher. So did Josh Levo. But the cautiousness there from the Canucks is because of that lack of cap space, because of the bad deals.
Well, it's, yeah, lack of cap space because of the bad deals. And then for whatever reason, the hesitancy to actually do anything until, like, you know, Troy Stetcher is a good example where it's like, I haven't heard anything from them. This team knocked on my door. I still can't, you know, get over Jim saying, oh, yeah, we've put a good offer in the Tanev's camp. He's going to sleep on it. And an hour later, he's a Calgary Flame. I guess he had a 5-minute nap and came to the realization he went out. But like, this occurs because of a variety of different factors, but it doesn't help that you leave things until so late. Like the advantages that the team had, where they might have been able to open up, you know, more productive negotiations early on with a Tanev or a Markstrom or a Toffoli, got, you know, hindered. One, pandemic, flat cap, OEL trade, no trade. You know, there's all these different things, and now what's happened? We give credit for the OEL no trade,
but
that was a good no trade. You won there, Jim. But at what cost?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's just seems like wins that could have happened. Like Toffoli, obviously, like athletes want to play, and he's like, I'm not saying Toffoli was like desperate to stay in Vancouver. He played 10 games, you know, but he was keen on it, and he liked the environment, and however they did in the bubble definitely endeared him to Vancouver.
And his dog also has favorite pet treats from
apparently
on Granville Island. So,
I mean, I said over and over again, like, Tyler Toffoli is not staying in Vancouver, but,
well, I don't, this is the thing.
We could have got him.
If we go back to previous episodes, though, right? Like, when we're talking about it, I don't think any of us had Tyler Toffoli as coming back. And if we did, it was like down the list.
Yeah.
But I don't think any one of us believed that Toffoli was going, like, that Montreal deal.
That's the thing. Because, you know, there was talk of a even more expensive deal that Tyler Toffoli was sort of rumored to be ready to sign. And we said, well, yes, sign that, but he's not going to sign that. So don't worry about it. Yeah, he signed like an even cheaper deal.
That's the thing that's like, wow, what happened? Like, maybe, again, who knows? Maybe Montreal got some form of discount that he wasn't willing to offer the Canucks. But I based on the scuttlebutt that I've heard.
Yeah, like, if he really missed home, Vancouver's a whole lot closer than Montreal.
Yeah.
Although, with the closed borders, maybe it doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. But, and then you had Troy Stetcher, hometown kid, who was desperate to stay in Vancouver. He was also, like, you know, he's not a top-tier defenseman.
Sure. And that, so I was going to say, there's hindsight plays into Troy Stetcher. I think we need to temper this, but how is Troy Stetcher not a real good seven?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would have gone to the end of the earth for Alex Biega. Right, he is
Biega would have gone to the end of the earth for his team. That's right? He's a good guy.
He was a phenomenal seven. This is the type of depth that you need. Yeah, Canucks had it with Ben, sure. And fine, like, okay, well, is then Troy number eight? You knew the season was going to require something of you. I don't understand how Troy from Richmond, with NHL experience, put into a role that he has shown he can play, hurts you. Like, I just, again, weird. If someone might want to point it out that it has to do with the cap, sure. You know what? There's probably some, you know, financial gymnastics that need to take place. But how can you tell me Troy Stetcher's money doesn't fit?
Yeah.
Anywho. So Benning, you know, is ultimately on his way out.
I was just going to continue the narrative because, like, we need to, like, get on to tonight's game, and that is Benning game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, Benning's being run out of the market. House radio is starting to turn. Like, if you listen to Sportsnet 650, they're even questioning whether or not this, you know, management regime has much left in its tank. So Vancouver's taking on Ottawa in what people have put up as Fire Benning Night.
Yeah, and said, hold my beer.
Don't,
because we're socially distanced.
So the Canucks come out with a pretty solid effort in the first period, at which point Brandon Sutter's like, yeah, you know what? I got skill. I'm going to score a goal while I'm sort of falling down backwards. Like,
yeah.
So there's that. Then Tyler Mott, he decides that, you know, he doesn't want to be shown up. He'll go and contribute to the scoreline. Canucks take a 2-0 lead into the first intermission. Now, granted, Senators didn't look like the Montreal Canadiens or the Calgary Flames or the Edmonton Oilers did. Vancouver was trying their best to give them opportunities. I think they had 2 breakaways in the first period alone.
They hit the bar on one.
Yeah, hit the bar. Like, so, you know, puck luck in Demko standing on his head. But somehow, miraculously, the Vancouver Canucks go into the intermission with a lead. Murph drops the Mock Girl Summer. The broadcast wins the Canucks podcast wars.
Oh, they're pretty friendly wars, though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, we've been around in the war long enough. It's like, you've seen Anchorman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the news, street wars. Fight. The news wars, right?
Okay. No one's, like, got a trident here, but...
No. But like, this is, you know, trust the process in us. This is sort of our go-to. Broadcast new entrance into the market. They're like, mm-hmm. you know, coming in and laying down the law. And they won. I don't, that's.
That was a cool moment. But
yeah.
That's mad for you.
And you owe him some crackers now or something? Crisps or what? What
was it you owe? Kettle chips and a coffee card. Not really sure how much is on there, Murph. So,
you know. I just want to, and we're a little off the rails here. You go and help promote the broads by offering bribes to Murph.
Hey, I'm promoting a mental health initiative is what I'm promoting.
True. And for those that don't know, the Mock Girl Summer merch that the broads have up and available, all the proceeds go to, I think it's, there's 2 charities. There's one in the States and then one here.
Yes, Foundry BC. I think there might be 2 in Michigan, actually, but I'm not 100% of their names.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's for a good cause. I'm just trying to...
Troll me.
Yeah, because, you know, you should be promoting C4. Just saying.
I promote C4 by the way I live my life.
That's true.
C4 vibes.
So second period starts, and more of the same. Canucks are sort of carrying the play, every so often looking to give the Sens a chance. And when Austin Watson scores his goal midway through the second.
Yeah.
How'd you feel?
I felt like, here we go again.
Yeah, right? Like that, the way things sort of changed in that moment where the Sens score the goal, it's like, oh my goodness. Like and the way the goal went in too, like the Canucks were sort of having extreme difficulty getting the puck out of their own end. And I think it took a couple deflections off Demko's mask over his head.
Yeah, and Tyler Myers was in the way as Tyler Myers tends to be.
Yeah. So at that moment, it's like, oh my goodness. So thankfully, you know, the Jaglines plus Hoglander decided that they wanted to do something a little bit differently. And Hoglander set up Pearson on a very beautiful goal. First of all, he went like he's Superman towards the puck, swung his stick, gets it past 2 or 3 Senators. Now, this is the other part I don't get. They were so scared of Hoglander that they all went to him and left Pearson all alone in the middle of the ice in the slot.
I mean, chip and chase hockey is not my favorite to watch, but that was like perfection of the art.
So the Canucks, you know, sort of stabilize. And then late in the period, the Canucks get a shorty from who else but Brandon Sutter. Brandon Sutter puts the Vancouver Canucks up in a very comfortable lead going into the third period. At which point people are like, oh my goodness, this must be a contract year. Has Jim signed the extension yet? Does this mean Sutter's coming back? Little did we know that Sutter had a little more in the tank.
Yeah.
So third period, more the same, except this is the good same. This is Quinn Hughes scoring a beautiful goal. Bounces it between both skates towards the net and then fires it in between Matt Murray's legs.
Yeah, I mean, that was rough that didn't go in before, but it was nice. It was well controlled.
Sure, and I mean, it also helped that in making that first attempt at a save, Murray had taken himself into the corner and had to scramble back to get to Hughes.
Yeah, we won't take anything away from our Lord and Savior, Brandon Sutter, but Matt Murray had an unlucky night, didn't he?
Yeah. Blogfather, J.J. Guerrero, he had actually put money down that the Canucks were going to win simply based on the fact it was Matt Murray. But he also set a Brock Besser goal. I don't think that means he gets a payout because I believe he had both.
Yeah.
Olli Alevi notched his first.
Yep, another chalk that one up for Jim Benning.
Mm-hmm. That means he's not a bust. It's just guaranteed now.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Sutter scores his fourth of the season. Third in the game. First career hat trick. And somehow, in a pandemic where there are no fans in the barn, a hat was thrown on the ice.
No, Braden Holtby's a sweetheart.
That's like when they go, you know, the camera goes to the one hat on the ice. It's,
well, trying to create an atmosphere. I know. Not really possible, but
well, and was it the NWHL where they had like someone running around lifting the cutouts? Was that the NWHL?
I'm not sure. Okay, I almost brought up the NWHL earlier when we were talking about headshots. That was a rough hit to the head there in the game, one of the games of the weekend. So,
oh, no, I hadn't seen that. So maybe we'll have to check each other out. But there was a video, essentially, like one of the in-game staff was lifting up the cardboard cutouts of people to do the wave, like going from seat to
That's
seat.
That's good. Them up. That's right? Funny. So,
yeah. But yeah, the Vancouver Canucks win in what one might call convincing fashion, 7-1.
Yeah, it was a good time for Matt Murray and the Ottawa Senators to come to town, I must say.
This game, I'm conflicted. I'm psyched that the Vancouver Canucks won. I'm psyched that they won in convincing fashion. I'm simply maybe tempering my expectations to consider what happens on Wednesday when they next play, because one game does not make for a season. One game does not save a GM. Like, for anyone out there, it's like, oh, now this Jim's plan's coming together. He's had 7 friggin' years.
Yeah.
If it's only just coming together now.
Olli Alevi, like, you've got to be really pleased for him to get that goal on a personal level. But Olli Alevi, no offense to Olli, but like, he is already not a draft success. Please, any career success Olli Alevi has from now on, like, I will be very pleased for him. But yeah, we already lost that one, Jim. Anyway.
So the Vancouver Canucks, based on tonight's game, have themselves an opportunity to be within reach of the playoffs.
That's the thing. We've talked about this before. This season's crazy. Like, we go on a skid losing all those games.
The only reason, like, Edmonton currently has the last spot simply based on win percentage, because they've played one less game than the Canucks but have equal number of points. The Canucks are ahead of Calgary by 1 point. Calgary has played half the number of games. Yeah. Calgary have only played 4, and Vancouver's played 8. Ottawa is in the basement. They have, however, only played 6 games, and they're 3 points out of those 6. Like, again, it's still so very early in the season, and it's kind of going back to the, you know, point that I raised, and I think you'd sort of agreed with 2 episodes ago. A streak can put you from first to worst to first again. Like this season is just going to be crazy to the wire-ish.
Yeah. I mean, let's not forget there are teams in the league that have played 2 games.
Is there?
So, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Dallas, Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew COVID's running amok, but like, how is it? Well, I mean, I guess Dallas makes sense. How is it that Florida has only played 2 games? Has it just been because their games were against Dallas that got postponed?
I guess they were against Dallas and
Carolina. Has got 3. So, yeah. So, okay, that would make sense. If Florida's games against Dallas were against, they would be, they're impacted by the 2 teams that are having a real rough go right now with COVID-19.
Yeah.
Anyway, any final thoughts about the week that was?
I mean, it was a roller coaster of a week. It was a lot of emotions, but that's going to be this season, I think, because Canucks do have some offensive potential, especially if their depth gets going. But their defense still sucks, and their goalies are still learning to deal with that. So,
yeah. And all that bodes very well for the week that will be, which we'll get into in a short moment. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast and CanucksHockeyBlog.com on the Full Press Coverage Network.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Is that because he was mad?
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Looking ahead at the week in front of us, the Vancouver Canucks take on the Senators on Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, because, again, I get it. They're trying to make it at a more reasonable time for Senators fans. 5 p.m. actually isn't horrible for us on the West Coast.
It's not horrible, but what else do they have to do in Ottawa? Stay up late. what else does anyone have to do? But
true. Thursday night, they then play again at 7 p.m. And then they have a Hockey Night in Canada game on Saturday in Winnipeg against the Winnipeg Jets. Actually, speaking of the Jets, so the Vancouver Canucks had to play at 4 p.m. against the Habs on Saturday. And then the Jets started their game, I think it was at 9 p.m., so that they were the late night game. Like, seems a little backwards.
I mean, it doesn't, because...
Well, I know the Habs are a huge TV market.
NHL priorities lie. I have a question. When do Canucks get a break?
Let me just quickly scan through here. Like, what would you consider a break?
More than 3 days.
Okay, they have they have a 3-day break to end off February, and then they have a 6-day break near the end of March. Those are really breaks. Anything else is like,
yeah, they've had a rough go, but yeah.
But, the Canucks, they have the 2 against the Sens. They got the 1 against the Jets. And then we record on Monday next week. We'll be talking about that game because they'll be in Montreal playing. So that's a 4 p.m. our time start. And as a result, I guess we can consider that a upcoming week's game. Yeah. Before we get into sort of what we expect out of this, let's just go on what we expect out of this. Are the Canucks going to get at least 1 win in these 2 games against the Sens, or do you expect 2 wins? Is 2 wins what is necessary?
I expect 2 wins. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessary or certain.
Okay, so
because even the 7-1 win was not certain in many points.
Sure. But like when you say, like, when I think about like What do the Canucks necessarily have to do? They have to come out and be dominant in these 2 games. It's sort of like a question I asked on Twitter and in C4 Discord tonight. Would you be happy with the Canucks win, or would you be happy with a strong Canucks effort, regardless of the results?
So, I mean, we talked about this in IOTA.
Mm-hmm.
I think a dominant Canucks effort, that should be enough to beat the Sens both times.
Which, frankly, tonight was not a dominant effort, but yet they did win. And they won in a dominant fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they can win like this, how can they lose?
I mean, they can easily, but like with a dominant effort, that's not going to be enough to beat every team, but it should be enough to beat the Sens 9 times out of 10. So, yeah, I expect 2 wins.
So I'm expecting 1 out of 2 against the Sens.
Look at me being the positive one.
No, and I think I'm in this new sort of spirit of tempering my expectations so that I can be pleasantly surprised when they get two. Sure. You know, like I feel that the back-to-back makes things a little more interesting. Yeah. I would expect after tonight that Demko starts on Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, right? Either way, it's going to be a split, but yes.
Exactly. And so I feel that, you know, that's where that sort of uncertainty is what's giving me the doubt that the Sens might pull out one. I do think, though, the Vancouver Canucks need to get these 2 wins. Like, if they want to then put themselves back into this conversation, which, again, it's still very early in the season. There's plenty of time to get into the conversation before you're out of it completely. 2 wins helps you along the way, especially when you're going to go up against a Winnipeg Jets team that is going through some transition. They are no longer dressing a player by the name of Patrick Laine, but they will not be dressing a player named Pierre-Luc Dubois.
No, I believe he is.
That trade happened on, was it Sunday?
Yeah. So
I think the Jets were trying to go and argue that he would be eligible for like an expedited entry because they would have this many COVID tests and they'd all come back negative. But I can't see the federal government allowing anyone to get past the 14 days.
Yeah, I think the Canadian teams have been on and off lobbying the federal government for under increased supervision, like fewer days of isolation, but I don't think it's happening. So I think he has to sit for 2 weeks, but they dealt with the situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, both teams did. They traded as, I think it was Brian Burke called them distressed assets.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Distressed assets. The teams traded distressed assets. You had PLD got himself something like 2 minutes or 3 minutes of ice time in his last game in Columbus. He played like 2 or 3 shifts in the first period, at which point Torts is like, you now will go learn your lesson.
I mean, do you know what I just thought of? Have you seen that gif of a guy? He's a security guard during a body search, pat down outside the stadium.
He's just like waving his hand. Yeah. Not actually. Yeah, I've seen
that one. Pierre-Luc Dubois, I have to say. But I do have some sympathy with the view that Torts is a difficult person to work with. He's not an arm around your shoulder man manager, like, whatsoever.
No.
And I completely get, like,
can't wait why... for Patrick Laine to get there.
Yeah. I completely get the beef with Pierre-Luc Dubois. Like, he didn't want to be there and he made it pretty obvious, but I don't know. Torts is airing your dirty laundry in public. I don't know if that's the way to go.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm going to give it to Travis and Jim. At least they don't go out and say, this player is worth nothing. We want to get rid of him. It's like, you know,
I mean,
$5 OBO.
Yeah, I was going to say, they have done that sort of with their actions. Like, there's a reason Sven Berge has not got any takers.
Oh, well, yeah, no. Okay, true. Yeah, they've cratered Sven. It blows my mind that Sven can't even make Taxi Squad, or Sven can't even make the Moose. Like, the Vancouver Canucks now have a partnership with the Manitoba Moose where they can have some players strategically placed, which, again, expedites call-ups if necessary. And Sven Berchi is in Utica. Like, peace be with Sven.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know if we're in the best position to.
True.
Like,
but they don't. That's more like.
It's less public.
Yeah, yeah.
Way less public, but it's not a great relationship.
So, I mean, looking at that Saturday game, though, I mean, the Vancouver Canucks play Winnipeg once before moving on. Like, this is one of these weird, like, we're going to play a lot of teams a lot of times, but yeah, we're only going to play Winnipeg once before we head off to Montreal.
Maybe they won't figure us out.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Winnipeg's actually been okay in the early start. I mean, they've got themselves 8 points out of six games. The two losses that they've had have, you know, been against better competition, all things considered.
Right. I mean, Winnipeg are just pretty good at not living up to their potential. Their great deal of potential they have. I mean, one of Winnipeg's assets is their home crowd, which they don't have anymore, so.
True.
That's and, check mark for us.
You know, the thing about Winnipeg, though, is they will have had 3 days off before they play Vancouver, because the way this works is teams get days off before they have to play Vancouver.
Right. And I think it will depend. And something I almost said when we were discussing the Sens games this week is that will depend on no more injuries. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see what happens on that front and who gets banged up, because apparently even our players get banged up during practice.
No kidding. Well, you know, if you can't split a lip or two in practice, when can you split them?
Yeah, I say that all the time.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say the Canucks. They're going to win against the Jets. Felt 30.
That's a bold call. No, I'm saying they lose against the Jets and the Habs.
I'm leaning your way. I truly am. I could probably be easily convinced to change my mind, but no,
I said they're going to win both games against the Sens. So,
yeah. And then they go to Montreal for two, Monday, Tuesday of next week. We'll talk about the setup, the Tuesday game in the next episode, but we're going to be talking about the Monday game now. They're going to lose that one. They're going to lose it good. Montreal is a sneaky good team. I mean, I think back to our...
I think they get wrecked on Saturday, and it's a really close game on Monday. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it'll be a closer game.
I look at the Habs, and I think back to our preseason show. We had Toronto as a clear one, Ottawa as a clear last. It started to get fuzzy in between, and I had sort of, and I think actually you might have been on the same page where we were like, yeah, but the Habs, they don't look bad. They've got a number of pieces that might work. I want to say I had the Habs at like, I want to say I said second. Like for me, the mix was the Winnipeg, Vancouver, Calgary.
I'm not sure what I said, but I think I'm still in the same position that they can be pretty good, but Carey Price holding it together will be key.
Yeah.
Because they have Josh Allen backing up, who I'm sorry, but never ever rated. So for now, like, yeah, I think they're good.
But what this brings us to is that game being on February 1st. I feel that if the Vancouver Canucks can string together a few wins leading into that game, they're doing enough to continue to tread water. And that the way this season is the longer you can tread water, the longer you can stay in that hunt. And again, string a few wins together, especially regulation wins where you're taking huge points away from the opposition, like if there was one bad thing about that Canucks win over the Habs was they gave the points a point to Montreal.
That's the thing. I think I have said in previous years, take care of the loser points and the standings will take care of themselves. That is not the case this year.
No, not at all. The the next episode will be the clear indication as whether or not I think we're lighting fires to the bandwagon.
Lighting fires on the bandwagon?
To the bandwagon. Not on. I would never do it on. I'd make sure everyone got off safely.
I feel like you've mixed a ton of metaphors this episode.
Well, if Matt's not here, who else shall do it?
Channeling Matt's fake language energy.
If there's one thing that I am good at is filling the role of necessity out of the combination of people that are on the show.
Sure.
In fact, I think we got a review once along those lines where they described like, I think you, Adam, and Matt, and I think they even went and talked about Clay, and then they said me, and they're like, you know, Adam's really negative, Matt's really excitable, Anna's really on the fence, and Chris simply goes and sits in the seat that the other person...
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, I was even positive today because you went negative, so we balance each other out.
We'll have to trade roles next show. Mm-hmm. Maybe Matt will be back. I don't know.
We just don't know what this week will bring.
You know, Matt's maybe
it'll bring 8 points.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, Matt's busy creating prop bets out of thin air.
Yeah.
Like, what was it today? It was like, there was a prop bet over who's going to score more goals or something. Jake Virtanen or Tyler Toffoli or something like that. I think Toffoli had like a 3.5 favorite.
I was going to say, that's not a bet I'm taking.
It was someone, you know, I think it was Taj had asked it on Twitter, and then Matt came in and they're like, well, here you go.
I feel like that's misuse of company.
Well, if people are betting on it.
Mm. It's misuse of something.
I mean, he'll never talk about the day job because he, you know, again, day job and the podcast are sort of different spheres, but I don't work for his employer, so I can.
Yeah, quite so.
Hey, and you know, as we sort of look to wrap up the show, what's going on in Canucks Twitter right now? Everyone's, you know, showing their parlays, their prop bets. Like, when did Canucks Twitter become like a gambling ring?
Yeah, it's just, it's pretty bad, hey? Just like debauchery.
Well, oh, and like the broads, I think it was Danny. Danny's like, oh yeah.
Well, yeah, she picked Brandon Sutter to score 2 goals, so more power to her.
Yeah, I mean,
rooting for chaos. But honestly, we're all stuck inside. Like, Canucks Twitter is where we live, and I'm having fun on Canucks Twitter recently. I feel like, as much as it's a tire fire, like, there's also a self-awareness there. There's obviously some a cesspool edge to it, but mm-hmm. I think, for the most part, it's a fun place to be.
Yeah. Do I need to do more Canucks game and Muppet gifts?
I enjoyed that.
You liked the after first Muppets gif, but you did not like the after two.
Yeah, because it was Muppets creepy. GIF. It got creepy.
Well, it was the same character.
I mean, Pappy the Prawn is creepy, but it got weirder. I think bring back Beaker and I'm happy.
Hey, I think Beaker did make an appearance at the end, if I recall. Okay. I gave you a special Beaker one, but you know,
Beaker's my fave.
I mean, but you knew what I was like. I continued to refer to the Beaker like, you know, as like, you know, everything's on fire.
Tyler Myers.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to infer. So people who have been following, you know, my irreverence on Canucks Twitter, if I've noticed that. And then tonight, I think was the night I finally realized that I'm Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
On Canucks Twitter.
Yeah.
Hello, you're the old fellow man. Kids.
Old man of Canucks Twitter, but that's your role.
Someone has to play it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, as we look to wrap up our show, what final words of wisdom do you have for everyone?
I really hope that Ottawa keep playing Matt Murray, and I hope his unlucky streak continues.
Yeah, he got his first two wins against Vancouver shut out. The Canucks both games, and then has proceeded to lose every game since then, apparently.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm okay if that continues to happen. Final words for me. Nothing is absolute in the world of Canucks Twitter. Just because you think it's good or you think it's bad does not make it so. Remember that. Plus, I'm always right. What? I am, mostly. except when I'm wrong, like today. When okay, I just want to point out, when you were telling the broads about how well we do in Angola, I was trying, in my mind, I was thinking Moldova.
But then, yeah, you just wrote Angola again.
I did.
Which is why I work the C4 Twitter.
I work it too from time to time.
Yeah.
But I will admit, you work it more than I do, which makes sense. You're smarter, brighter, wittier.
Yeah, and work there is spelled with a U and two R's and maybe a couple of K's.
Work.
I wish you hadn't done that.
You're the one who spelled it. So if you haven't done so already, you want to join C4 Discord, discord.io/C4podcast. You can find us online, c4podcast.com. If you want to listen to the next episode of Off the Rails OTR, patron-only special available to those at the exclusive listening in level or above on Patreon, goes live next episode later this week. Patreon.com/C4podcast for our patrons. Got some pretty cool developments. You'll notice them occur probably in a week's time. So stay tuned. We're trying to enhance those benefits. And last but not least, if for some reason you are a patron, or maybe you're not and you've been holding out, we just recently converted the patron tiers to Canadian funds. Why is that important? Well, one, if you are in Canada, you are charged in Canadian funds. And two, you don't have to worry about an exchange rate that can really fluctuate over the course of the year. But two, it's actually more affordable. What was previously $5 US is now $5 Canadian. And instead of raising our tier prices to adjust for the exchange rate, we decided to keep them technically the tier level same or lower, save you, our listeners, some cash. So,
yeah, shop local, the border's closed. Mm-hmm. So stick that Canadian money behind a Canadian market.
Now, if you happen not to be in Canada, you're right. You're probably going to still have to do exchange. But if you're in the United States, you're actually saving money if you make sure you convert the tier to the correct level, because $5 US goes a long way compared to $5 Canadian.
That's what we're told. We don't do maths.
No. On behalf of the remaining Unfit podcast, Noble Carter, NMFOC, the on the IR, Matt Lee @Matt_Lee_61, and a Forsyth @A4603, myself, Chris @LightForce, signing off this podcast with those words you've been waiting for. We out.